Friends, do you see yourself in this account that we've just read? Yes, we're describing what happened 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem on the mount that we call Golgotha or Calvary. But do you see yourself in the story? Do you realize that you and I are Barabbas? We are the ones that God allowed to go free, that he could die. Do you know that we are the crowd that cried, "Crucify him"? Maybe you're thinking, I would never say that. You have no idea the depths of your sin then. Because every time we sin, in a sense, we're saying that. We're saying, "Crucify him." Did you see yourself in Pilate? Pilate, this man torn because he cared more about what others thought than to do what was right. Oh yeah, we're like Pilate. Do you see yourself in the crowd at the feet of the cross, reviling Christ? Do you see yourself in the thieves that were beside him, mocking him from the cross, completely blind to how desperate and hopeless their own situation? You know, we've all accused and mocked God by minimizing sin and excusing sin. In fact, while we blindly judge others for our own, with our own glaring faults in the same way. Where does that leave us all? Well, friends, it leaves us all guilty. But that's not it. That's not all that is here at the cross on this Friday. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine the stress, the anguish. It's hard to imagine the pain, the abandonment, the terror, the exhaustion, the certainty of an excruciating death. I mean, all this goes beyond our minds, our comprehension. But this is where our Lord Jesus Christ was on Friday, long ago. The mental, the physical, the emotional strain, it really is unimaginable. But do you know, that was nothing. That was nothing with what was awaiting. Awaiting our Savior was not only separation from God, but the wrath of God. Here is the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. The sins of the world, our rebellion, our hatred, our jealousy, our selfishness, our pride, our self-sufficiency, our lust, our deceit, our denial of God, our idolatry, our lies, our self-love, our self-trust, our criticalness, our bitterness, our unforgiveness, our slander, our filthy, false righteousness, and our hypocrisy. You know, this is the most awful moment in the history of the universe. But it's also the most wonderful moment in the history of the universe for those who believe. His death means life to us. Do you realize that the cross is the great exchange? The great exchange, his righteousness for our filth. His healing for our sin-sick soul. His holiness for our wickedness. His redemption for our corruption. His love for our hatred. His grace for our disgrace. His death for our life. This is Good Friday. You know, I thought we might take a moment today and go through the last seven things that Jesus spoke on the cross. It's a great study, but it's too deep. It's too profound. We'd be here a long time. It's too extraordinary and to simply speed through. I commend them to you to read and consider maybe tomorrow as you meditate waiting before Easter Sunday or Sunday morning. Jesus' words from the cross, they're extraordinary. I mean, think with me just for a minute. When you and I are distressed, when we're under duress, when we're under great pressure, when we're threatened or we're in danger, when we're exhausted, when we're abandoned, what happens? I mean, you and I, under just one of those circumstances, even at our best, when we are squeezed and when we are strained under that pressure, what happens? The very best of Joe Morrell comes out. No, I'm surprised. I'm horrified at what comes out of me in those moments. It's not a happy revelation. My anger, my frustration, my impatience, my lack of love, my lack of care, it's easy in those moments for me to think me. But this is the love of God. When Jesus is broken, when he is under duress, when the weight of the world is upon him, what does he say? Father, forgive them. His heart is on those. Mother, look on thy son. Son, look on thy mother. He looks to the thief over here and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, this is the heart of God, my friends. When we were at our worst, when God was in the worst place, his great love, the greatness of our God shines forth. The last thing he says, perhaps the second to the last thing he says, is, it is finished. It is finished. What did he mean? What did Jesus mean? Why did he say, it is finished? He doesn't say, I am finished. He says, it is finished. You see, Jesus was born to live a perfect life and to die a sacrificial death. If you read through the Gospels, what you find over and over is Jesus saying, I have come to do my Father's will. John 4, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and accomplish his work. John 6, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. When Jesus spoke to his mother in John chapter 2, he said, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. John 7, when they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid his hand on him because his hour had not come. Later in John, he says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. John 17, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. to glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. When the disciples had fallen asleep, he came to them the third time and said, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." "It is finished" is a victory cry of hope. The work of the gospel, the work of the cross. Friends, can I just share with you real briefly four things? When you see the cross, we see, in a sense, four pieces, right, left, top, and bottom, if you will. It's two beams of wood that were crossed, but you see four things. There are four things that we can think of. When we think of the cross, what do we see? Number one, we see the justice of God. The justice of God. In the Old Testament, we have Ezekiel chapter 18, 20 telling us this: "The soul that sins shall die." We have the New Testament repeating what the Old Testament says. Romans 6, 23, "The wages of sin is death." The wages. Have you sinned? If you've sinned, then you have earned death. That is your wages. And that is what justice says. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, separation from God. If you want to see the justice of God, look at the cross. There's more to see at the cross. We look at the cross and we also see the wrath of God. What was being celebrated in Israel when Jesus was crucified? It was a time of Passover, right? They were celebrating the Passover. And Passover was what? It was God rescuing Israel from Egypt. Actually, it was God rescuing Israel from his wrath. That is the idea of the Passover. Because God told them, "I am going to come down and I am going to judge. I will take every firstborn male, except if you put the blood of a lamb on the post of the door." God says, "When I see that blood, I will pass over you." So the cross, we see this. We see that 2,000 years later, at the cross, Jesus, the Lamb of God, taking the wrath of God. You want to see the wrath of God? We look at the cross. What else do we see at the cross? We see the love of God. Romans 5, verse 7 and 8, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." It's the love of God, friends. You see, we see the wrath of God, we see the justice of God, but we also see the love of God. We must understand, friends, it was not the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love. We also see at the cross the salvation of God. The book of Acts, chapter 13, says this: "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." It is finished. What is finished? Salvation is finished. The payment for our sins is finished. What an extraordinary thing we have at the cross, friends. We have God's justice. We have God's wrath. And we have God's love and God's salvation right on the cross. We see the wrath of God. We see the justice of God. The wages of my sin was death. The wrath of God poured out on His Son. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. We see the love of God. God giving His own Son for all who will trust in His name. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is salvation. Do you know that salvation? Do you have that salvation? Have you confessed before God that you're unworthy, that your sin put Christ on the cross, that He paid the price for your sins? Have you called upon God for forgiveness? Have you surrendered yourself to Him as your Savior, as your Lord? Friend, today is the day of salvation. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. The proof that Jesus' death was sufficient is Sunday. He demonstrates His power over death, His power over the grave, and therefore His power over sin and death and hell by rising from the grave. And those who trust Him are raised in that same newness of life. For us who have trusted in Christ, the cross is our boast. It's our hope. It's our theme. It's our song. It's our glory. I once was lost. I now am found. I was blind, but now I see. Why? Because it is finished. Let's praise Him in song. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we give You the thanks and the praise. We don't understand, God. We cannot begin to imagine Your great humility, Your great heart to save, Your great love. God, teach us more of this. We pray, God, that the cross would mean more to us than it does today and yesterday. God, that we would grow to understand more fully the depth, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of Your love. Oh, God, that would fill us, that would transform us. Oh, God, that would make us into the people that You've created us to be. God, be glorified as we remember You, as we give thanks for the greatness of Your love. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.